Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public.
I came to play.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Greetings and happy Monday to everybody. What's going on? It's your boy, Chef Plum, the culinary Jedi, known as Trash Talker Skywalker, on the airwaves live with Plum Love Foods Live here on a Monday night. Because you know why? Because on a Monday night is when most of my good friends are either not working or getting off work, being that it's 10 p.m. here on the East Coast. That's right, you guys. This show is for my culinary friends, for my food people, and for anybody who appreciates a great conversation. And that's what I hope to have tonight with a guest who I've become very, very close with over the past few weeks. And we've had a lot of time talking to each other. We spent a lot of time just kind of talking about our history. We're talking to the one and the only at Culinary Harassment, my man Omar. You know, if you're part of True Cooks, if you're representing True Cooks, you know who Omar is. And man, his story is something else. I'm not going to get into it right now because it's such a great story. I want him to tell it. But you talk about struggles. You talk about, in my opinion, the American dream. And this man represents that. And I love that story in itself. So what's going on, y'all? I am sitting down here live. It is 10:02 p.m. What's the date? Let me see. Today's date is January 11th, 2016. Listen, if you told me 20 years ago, I'm sitting in my house worried about not graduating high school on time because I graduated high school in 1996. We can figure out, do that math. You can figure out how old I am. But I'd be sitting here at a bar in 2016 having a conversation with everybody and talking to some of the coolest food people in the world. I tell you, you were crazy. But it's the truth, and that's what's happening. And thank you to everybody for all the support that you give to this very program because it's doing very well. You know, I should tout it more often. The number one food talk show on Blog Talk Radio, but it's humbling. It's awesome. So enough of that nonsense. What's happening with you guys? Let me tell you what's happening with me. We're working on signing a new deal with Turner Classic Movies. We're gonna start pushing that content out very soon, which is great. Very excited about that. We just loosely announced, if you're in the tri-state area, I am doing another pop-up dinner. That's right, Dinner Underground at Edmond Town Hall presents Winter Warms the Soul. It's going to be a great dinner. I'm working on all this traditional New England food. It's going to be, you know, things that kind of stick to your bones, things that keep you warm in the wintertime, and that's what this whole dinner is going to be based on. I'm very excited about it. I couldn't be more fired up for the food we're going to do. It's going to be a very challenging thing for myself, and listen, that's what it's about. That's what this whole business to me is about. It's about challenging yourself. It's about every day waking up and setting goals for yourself and hitting those goals. You're not going to hit them all every single day, but you have to have goals to hit. Because if you're not trying to hit these goals, then you shouldn't be here. I saw a quote from Chef Marco Pierre White recently on Instagram from a person whom I follow, and it's since become my wallpaper. Enough of this music. God damn, it's still going. That's a long fucking song. It's a great quote, and it's my wallpaper now on my phone every morning. So when I pick my phone up and hit the button to see what time it is, I'm forced to read it. And the quote goes like this: "If you have a dream, you have a responsibility to yourself to make it come true. Because if you don't, you're just a dreamer." And again, that's Chef Marco Pierre White. And let me tell you something, that quote has never meant more to me than it has the beginning of this year, because 2016 is going to be the year where I just take it to another level. That's my plan to what I want to do with everything that's happening in my life, whether it's the show, these other different ventures we have going on, our deal that we have with Discovery Family. There's just so much stuff going on with the food tube thing. Oh shit, I haven't talked about that yet, but that's something on the works. The Turner Classic Movies thing we have work. There's just a lot of cool things happening. I'm really excited about it. And so my plan is this year to take it by the horns and run with it. So every morning I wake up and read that. I think it's important. I think everybody should take some kind of quote like that and have it on their phone and have it for themselves to look at, because these are the things that, while it seems so small and could seem so insignificant, they make the biggest difference in our lives. And you wake up, that's the first thing you see every morning. And I used to say I'd wake up and see my beautiful wife every morning, but these days she's hanging out with my youngest one in bed because she's having bad dreams at 4 a.m. or whatever. So that's a battle I'm obviously not going to win. I don't know. Well, another thing I'm doing right now, you guys, I am not popping the top on a cold one like I normally would do on a Monday night before a great conversation, because I don't know if it's better for me, but I'm trying not to have as many calories. So I'm having a nice bourbon and diet Pepsi. Feel free to insert your joke gimmick here, because I would do it if I were you. I would be sitting here listening. Yeah, right. You're married. Get it? That was a pretty good joke. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm sitting here, I'm having that, and it's going to be fun to see how many of these I can slowly drink while I'm having this great conversation with Omar, a.k.a. Culinary Harassment. Looking forward to that conversation tremendously. So I want to ask you guys a question. So I have a client who will remain unnamed, who asked me to make them. This particular client has a lot of food allergies and whatnot. So she's kind of limited to what I'm limited to, what I can use and what I can't use. She wanted me to make her a cake, right? So the only thing I'm allowed to use is quinoa flour, salt, eggs, water, and it used to be sugar, but no more sugar. Yeah. No stevia, no nothing else. She wanted me to make her a cake to go with her delivery of food today. And I tried it, and to me it was more like a poor man's cornbread when it came out. I actually cooked some whole quinoa and popped it in there and mixed the whole thing together. And I mean, honest to God, it tasted horrendous. But for this particular woman, she loves it. And hey, bless her heart, great with me. But it's a lot of work, man. And I just don't know. Maybe I'll have to ask Omar about that, because he's a baker. Like, I don't know what I could do for sweetener or something like that. I can't use anything. I don't know. I can't use anything. I wonder if I could use, would beet juice? Now I'm trying to pink, though. I don't know. Anyway, hopefully someone's got an answer. If you got an answer about that, give me a tweet at chef_plum and let me know what you think I should sweeten this dish with. Maybe I'm something I'm not thinking of. I can't use stevia. I can't use agave. I can't use honey. So maybe there's something else I'm not aware of that I could use to sweeten this dish with that she may not be allergic to, at least today. I don't know. And, you know, it's funny because you do what I do as a private chef. You talk to a lot of people. You have a lot of clients who have different needs. And listen, that's what they're paying you for. They're paying you to have those different needs and for you to service those needs. So, you know, I'm not complaining. It's just, it's funny when you get handicapped to the point. It's like trying to go play football and not have an offensive line. You're so handicapped. There's not a whole lot you can do there. And speaking of football, and we're not a sports program, but, as most of you know, I am a pretty big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That game Sunday night, wow. Wow, best game of the year. Big congrats to my friends over at Pittsburgh Steelers, Greta Rooney, Burt Lawton, you know who I'm talking about, Art Rooney. Congratulations, looking forward to seeing you guys at camp. But not too soon, not too soon. And listen, I've made the promise to my wife. If by some crazy stretch of the imagination they make the Super Bowl, I'm going. So I'll be in California if they're in a Super Bowl, no doubt. Hopefully some of my friends out there maybe can give me some work for a day. I can go out there early or something. At least I'll convince my wife to do it. I don't know. It seems like I'm always trying to convince somebody of something. That's what they call gimmicks, folks. You're running a gimmick. So this conversation coming up tonight is going to be with one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just enigmatic, charismatic, just nice human beings, but incredibly humble, but you know, I can't wait to have this conversation with him. I want to talk about the baking. I want to talk about his history. I mean, Omar himself, he was a refugee. Like, I can't wait to get into all the stuff with him. His new book is called Walking with Lions. It's available on Amazon. You can check it out there. If you have a Kindle, if you have one of the Kindle app, you can actually read the book for free, which is amazing. But don't read the book for free. It's $3. Spend $3. Get this book. It's an amazing book of, like, quotes and very inspirational things that he's learned along the way. The whole book's based on the notes that he took in life. You should check it out. It's well worth it. You can check it out really easy by just going on to Amazon.com. And on that website, you'll see you can read the book right there. You can see, you know, some of the beginning pages right there. But spend the $3. Don't be a cheap ass. Buy the man's book. It's amazing. It's well worth it. And when you do, make sure you go to Amazon.com to do it. Go through Plum Love Foods or ChefPlum.com because, hey, they throw me a wooden nickel every time someone does that. So check it out. We're going to do a quick little spot here, and then we're going to come back with my man, Culinary Harassment, a.k.a. the homie Omar. Stay right there, guys. I'll be right back. You're checking out the number one food talk show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Chef Plum, and this is Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back, guys. Don't move. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. And you.
Find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk away. Yeah. Those who cope late know the world ain't kick. Jail bars ain't golden gates. Those who fake, they break. When they meet their 400-pound mate, if I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course. When get the up and on their horse, kick around, drinking moonshine. I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased, but no, don't weep. Why Clef's in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week. Money in the bag, banker look like a drag. I wanna play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find. I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. In some vortex and sweats, I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Borgie and Best. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool, but I hex you with the witches.
Yeah, that's right. Coming back live right now. Plum Love Foods Live. I couldn't think of a better song. To bring in one of my guests at this time, my buddy, who I've become close with over these past few weeks, so the past few months, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for. And there's a lot of opportunities I get, very humbling in this industry that I get to meet some really, really cool people. And the man that we're bringing on the phone right now is someone who is just so inspirational and someone who can just help you, help me as a man. Take myself to the next level. The man himself, Omar, a.k.a. Culinary Harassment. Brother, what's happening? How are you?
What is going on, my man? What a beautiful intro. Thank you so much. That is that was very, 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 very nice, man.
Well, I appreciate
what's going on
that.
With you? How you been?
I'm good, brother. I'm sitting down here at the basement. I'm having myself a cocktail. I got some old Fuji's playing in the background. I'm talking to you. Couldn't be a better way to spend a Monday night.
Beautiful, man. here I am, you know, on the legendary red couch. Lights are dim. Got a cigarette lit.
Now you got clothes on, right? Get...
Well, you know. You know how I do.
Dude, really quick.
Partially.
Where do you get these pictures from? This inspiration for these crazy-ass pictures you take are just, it's hysterical. I love it. It's like breaking Instagram.
Well, that photo was taken by Rachel, I want to say maybe seven, 8 months ago.
Oh, no way.
And that was taken in D.C. Yeah, she was living in D.C. at the moment. I went down there, and we were, you know, we take a lot of photographs like that. There's a whole archive of photos like this, you know. And it's, we just do it for fun.
You better hope you don't piss her off, or else it's going to end up everywhere, man. You're going to make it somewhere big time. We're going to see you on television. She's going to come out of the woodwork and be like, hey, remember this handkerchief picture?
Well, she actually might do me a favor if she does that, you know. I finally might break the internet, you know what I mean?
There you go. So look, before we get diving into this and talking about it, man, you and I met through this wonderful community of True Cooks, created, you know, by Chad, of course, and he wanted to call in and just say what's up to you really quick and just give you a little love, just very briefly. So
absolutely. I always got time for my brother, man.
You know,
yo, what's up, brother? What's up? What's up?
What is going on? That's a beautiful surprise, Chad. I didn't even know.
What's up, baby? What's
up,
baby?
Man?
What's up, God? What's up, Earth? How are you, brother?
Hey, man, I'm feeling mad nice. You even better so now that you called in.
Well, you know how it is, man. You know, culinary harassment out there. You know, True Cook's got to pop up, and that shit's synonymous. And you know, we back Omar and culinary harassment 180%. And you know, I absolutely love this dude. This is my homeboy. But nobody try to steal anybody's shine, man. I just wanted to call in and tell you to break a leg, brother. I love you. What's up, Rachel? I see you over there. And I'll talk to you all soon, man.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to this conversation.
Well, look, before you go, Chad, I wanted to ask you a question, man, because you know a lot of the history with Omar. We're going to get into a lot of that in this conversation. But when you look at what this man has been through to where he's at now, I mean, do you think that a gentleman like this is someone who young cooks can look at for inspiration?
Well, no doubt. And, you know, I mean, when you're talking about building a strong team, a strong squad, you know, I can tell you this, that this year you're going to see a lot more of Omar. You're going to see a lot more of his writing contributing to True Cooks. And there's a lot of shit coming up soon that he's going to play a big part of, you know, editorially speaking. And, you know, definitely go check out the book. Get the book.
The book is phenomenal,
book.
Man. And I'm actually, I was going through it for the second time today. It's phenomenal. And, yo, Chad, man, we appreciate you calling in and saying what's up to the boy. And
Likewise, brother. Omar.
Chad, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, everybody out there. Good luck, everybody, with the All-Star of the Year. I love everybody. I'll see y'all
there.
There
it is, man. We'll holler at you soon, brother.
All right. No doubt.
There it is. Look, there you go, man. That's a dude right there who, you know, is incredibly supportive of everything I've done. And without him, I wouldn't be having this conversation right now with you. So, you know, to me, he wanted to call and say what's up. So I said, cool, give him a couple minutes, let him say his thing. And there it is. It's more positivity.
Chad,
all about.
Chad plays a very, very important role in my life. You know, he's I can't even look at him, you know, as a friend. He's much more than that. He's like one of those older brothers, you know what I mean,
right,
that you look up to, listen to, and at the same time, he annoys the shit out of you, you know what I mean,
yeah.
But it's with love, you know, he gives me a little bit of a tough love, and, you know, thanks to him. The funny story is when he approached me, when I first, you know, was doing the Instagram thing, I didn't want nothing to do with him or the True Cooks. I, you know, it was I wasn't into it, but yeah. he saw something in me that he saw something, and to this day sometimes I still wonder what the fuck it is that he saw. And finally when the Instagram that the upload was in the direct messages, he sent me the phone number and he said, "Listen, call me up, let's talk." And my intention was to call him and tell him to, leave me alone, dude. I mean, it was pretty much like that. And we ended up talking for over an hour, and I ended up meeting him at the place where we had the first True Crooks meetup. I met him over there, so it's very, that place is very symbolic. It's almost like a pilgrimage. Every time I go there, it plays a really, really important place in New York City for me. So thanks to him, I was able to create this huge circle of friends and extended family members, really. So I'm eternally grateful to him.
Funny because you look at this and it's, we're going to go back to the future here in a minute because we're starting off from the beginning. I mean, we're starting off from the end and we need to get back to the beginning here. But it's, you look at something like that that's created and how much of a family it's made and how the connections are made. And to me, I just think that's the most intriguing thing about the whole True Crooks thing is that the group of people that's united, the group of people who maybe needed someone to talk to but didn't have someone, it's kind of brought that together. And you being an OG kitchen guy like myself, those things, that I didn't have that 20 years ago, and I think it's an amazing thing to have now. And it's a great tool. It's very useful to have access to dudes like Chad, dudes like Omar you can talk to over Instagram, over social media, and give you that encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, he's the man of vision. A lot of us have visions, a lot of us have goals and dreams, but he's the man of action, by his example, I grew because I saw him, firsthand, I actually saw him, I was there with him, I was able to see what the definition of hustle is. What his definition of hustle was, and I took it. I took what he was doing. I put it into my dream, my vision, and it's gonna take some time till I see the fruits of that labor happen. But I clearly see the progression. So the man knows what he's doing, and it's for everybody out there who reps the True Crooks and supports True Crooks and is a True Crook. You guys are not aware of the greatness that's coming for all of us, really. And it's really all thanks to him. I mean, this dude is genius.
No doubt, and I couldn't agree with you more. But it's funny because you talk about transition and you talk about just watching something kind of grow. Now, yourself, you're originally from Yugoslavia, is that right?
Yes, Yugoslavia was a country that fell apart during a civil war in 92, and I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And when the war started, my sister and I went to Croatia, which is a neighboring country to Bosnia, and we had some relatives there. And the idea was that we were going to stay there just a couple of weeks till everything blows over.
With your parents, were you with your parents at this point, or
no? This was just me and my sister.
Wow! And where were your parents?
They stayed back home in Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia.
So really quick, I don't want to glance over that.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're leaving. You're going to Croatia to kind of hide out because of civil war. And yeah. Your parents stay in Yugoslavia. Now, how does that work? I mean, you're a father, and as I am, and I couldn't imagine sending my kid and not going with them. Like, how does that, what was the thinking there?
Well, the whole thing was, you know, that they sent us over to relatives, you know, and the idea was, you know, what everybody thought that, you know, we were just going to be there for a couple of weeks and then we're going to go back home until everything goes over, because nobody really believed that this was going to really turn into a full-blown war. You know, it was ugly, so they just, you know, wanted to protect us.
Right.
And those 2 weeks turned into a little over 4 years. And during the time, we just did not have any contact at all. I mean, we didn't know. The phone lines were cut. You know, we were sending messages back and forth with, you know, Red Cross. And by the time you get the message, it's already months late, so the information that you're getting is not really even updated. So you know, it was difficult. You know what I mean? And now, you know, you're mentioning, you know, you're a parent just like myself. Now I'm actually understanding my parents even more. You know, why they did what they did. You know, and I never blamed them. You know, I never, you know. I was definitely an angry kid growing up. You know, I went from having, you know, everything. You know, I really had that beautiful childhood, you know, growing up. You know, it's, you know, it was just beautiful. I had everything. You get thrown into a pit, and then, you know, going from living in a warm home to living, you know, in remote places and that are not home. And so we were pretty much homeless. We stayed with the relatives for a little bit, and then they really couldn't feed us all the amounts. She's older than me. She's 6.5 years older than me.
Okay.
She was 18.
Okay, so you had your sisters there to look after you a little bit too, which is a good thing. I was afraid she was a younger sister, and my heart was just breaking, and but I just can't imagine. But at least, you know, she's an older sister, so she's there to kind of look after you. You're not so by yourself. It doesn't make the scenario a great scenario, but it makes it better, at least in my brain.
Yeah, I mean, you at least we had each other. You know what I mean? We
exactly
had each other. And,
are you guys so close?
She lives in Pennsylvania. You know, she's married. She has a beautiful daughter. I'm actually going planning to go. Well, my birthday is on the 24th, so I'm planning to take my son over there. So, but yes, I love my sister. Absolutely, she's my rock. You know what I mean?
Good.
We've been through a fair share of trials and tribulations. And we don't really talk about, you know, past as much, you know, and but we. You know, we have a connection that's it just will not ever be broken. And, you know, I'm really grateful for her being in my life, too.
Well, it's funny because I think when you go through traumatic things with people, or maybe not even so much traumatic things as just certain things, you have experiences with people in life, even if it's not your family, you grow incredibly close to them. And I can't imagine you and your sister went through together.
She at the age of 18 assumed the role of a mother, really.
Yeah.
You know? And me being innocent kid, I mean, I was flat out, you know, I was mama's boy. You know, I really, you know, I wasn't really spoiled, but I had so much of the mother's love.
Mm-hmm.
That once I left, you know, pretty much the whole world is taken away from you. And if it wasn't for her, I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for my sister, I really don't know how far I would have made it in life, really.
What's her name?
Janita.
Well, big shout out to Janita for taking care of Omar. So we have him now as culinary harassment instead of some dude in jail or some dude who's not where he's at or who knows what path you'd have taken.
She's definitely a very strong woman.
What about your parents? Are they still around? Or?
Yeah, definitely. They're still around. They also live in Harrisburg. They're really close, maybe 20 minutes close to her.
That's great, man. Ended up well. So I guess I have like 5 questions in a row, but I don't want to jump around here. But so that's great. So it ended up, and in the end, everybody, the family's still together. You know, for the most part, everyone, they're in Pennsylvania. You're in New York. It's not that far. Harrisburg is what? I mean, you're talking 4 hours?
Yeah, about 3.5 hours drive, yeah. If you respect the speed limit, if you drive a little bit faster, you can get there about 3 hours,
That's an easy drive, man. It's an easy day trip. You can go and see them for the holidays or just say what's up. That's great, man. I'm happy to hear that it worked out for you, although I'm sorry you had to go through that, and I hate to hear stories about children having to deal with things like that, especially being where I'm
from. But you know what, man? For many years, and when I say many years, I'm talking about over a decade. I was very angry, I really
because of what happened when your parents.
Well, it's not really so much because of what happened. It's because the thing that I've experienced in life, and not having really a proper guidance. You don't really have a mentor, there. And yes, my sister was there, but. As I was growing up, I was becoming a teenager. So, my mentors were, people that they were pretty much in the street, So I grew up with around tough guys. And I learned everything that, I did everything that my mom told me not to do, So from stealing and hanging out with the bad kids to involving myself into drugs and that type of lifestyle. My sister could not really, even though she assumed a role of a guardian,
she's a kid.
I have that control over me. Exactly.
She's still a kid.
I grew up really angry and frustrated, angry at the world. I felt the world all these things. But there was, I victimized myself a lot, like, why me and, fuck everybody else.
Right.
But I am extremely grateful. It's a fucked up thing to say that, but I'm extremely grateful for that experience in life.
Right.
Without that experience, I would not be who I am right now. I don't wish for anybody to go through what I went through, but I'm twice the man.
It's just another world. It's another whole other world that. A lot of Americans, and I don't mean this in a bad way, we can't comprehend that your country's at war, so you had to flee to another country. Like, that just, it sounds like things of a movie, people that I know and people, everyday people, they don't experience something like that. And it's just,
with the current events right now, what's happening, what happened with the Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
That was me. Wow. That was, those Syrian refugees that you saw escaping and running away. That was me, and the guy that designed my book cover, that was him.
Wow.
So I'm really grateful for him too. He's he was a genius behind the design. It was really really beautifully done, and I must thank him for taking the time and really taking care of me.
And the book, by the way, is incredible. And we're going to get into that book a whole bunch. I have a lot of questions about it. It's called Walking with Lions. You can find it on Amazon. The link is actually in the description here on the show. You can click that. You can read it for free if you're an Amazon Prime or something like that subscriber, right? But you can also, don't do that. Pay the $3 and download the book from the man, because let me tell you something. It's amazing. I've read it once, and I'm reading it from a second time right now. And it's quite an amazing book. And just for us to kind of just – for I was talking before about how people don't understand, you come from where you came from, having to flee your country to go to another, that doesn't sound like the things that people have to deal with in life. It just sounds like movie stuff, but it's the truth. You had to do that. But, you know, on the same accord, some of the stuff that I've been through, it's where you and I may have that bond when it comes to family and kids. You know, I live in Newtown, Connecticut. That's no secret. And, you know, when everything happened here in Newtown, you know, my kids were in kindergarten and they had to hide under their desks in a locked room because of crazy shit happening, you know, in a school in our town. And, yeah. You know, that's just like, that shit really happened, but that's, you know, it's not something that's.
It changes your life.
It completely changes you. Brother, I was, just as a side note, I'm classically French trained as a chef. I've worked in a Michelin star hotel. I've worked in five diamond, five star AAA World Rated hotels. I was classically French trained. I was a dick in the kitchen, hardcore about how the standards are and everything like that. The second after everything happened in Newtown and with the kids, the next day I was a different chef. Everything changed. Everything changed.
Yep.
It's not worth it, man. Time is too short. We have to enjoy life. We have to take what we get. And, you know, every day that sun's going to come up. And
isn't it amazing that, you know, that something drastic has to happen in our lives for us to actually stop and think for a second? Because we'll see things in the news, and we'll see our neighbors suffering.
Right.
We'll see, you know, close relatives even, you know. But then when it happens to you, you know, you always tell yourself, oh, that can never happen to me. You know,
right?
I'm immune to it. But when it does, you know, you're not ready for it. And,
not at all, man.
And then it turns your world upside down and, you know, makes you think for a second, and it absolutely changes you.
You go on.
And then the thing is, you know, it can really break you or make you, you know what I mean? And then, you know, it's...
You're so right.
Those are the only two options that you got.
And I talk about it because it becomes spirits you've had and something you've been through, or it becomes who you are. And when it becomes who you are, I don't think that's a good thing. Had you let what happened to you as a child, having to flee your country to go to another country because of civil war, if that became who you were...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
100% right. You would not be where you are today. But instead, it was something you had. It was an experience you had, and you built yourself off of that. You're not forgetting it. You're not downplaying it. But it's not who you are. It's not all you're about.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have the answers. You know, there's no map to find your way out. You know, you have to create your own map. You know what I mean? And as a refugee in other countries, you once again, as you can see on the TV, what's happening, you know, with the recent events, you know, you are not welcome. You know, even when I came to America, I wasn't, you know, absolutely, you know, people were not waiting here with their arms open waiting for me to come. You know, I remember, you know, I was, you know, butt of the jokes in class. You know, I came in, I was dressed weird, you know what I mean?
Well, hang on one second. How did you end up coming here to begin with? Like, how did that happen?
All right, well, my uncle was in a concentration camp, and we were in a refugee camp. I ended up being in a refugee camp, reconnected with my aunt and my two cousins.
Okay.
And my uncle came out of the concentration camp, and he's also another... individual in my life who I've learned a lot from just by observation and how he carried himself. For him to survive what he did, you know, it also changed him and it made him much more of a stronger person. He was actually my age when we moved over here. But what he did was he went out to the American Embassy in Croatia.
Okay.
And I don't know the exact details, but there was a Bill Clinton at that time allowed refugees to come in. So there was a wave of us waiting in line, and so he was there, and he had to go through an interview, and, you know, they asked him, like, you know, the guys pretty much asked him, like, you know, why the fuck should I let you go? You know, why should I let you go, but not, you know, not the other guys?
Right.
So he had to go through that, and, you know, he had the right answers. You know what I mean? He thanks to him, we came out of here, and then once we came here, we were able to establish contact with my family back home, and we became sponsors, and, you know, my mother came, and then my father came, and that's how
what
we reunited
like?
After a time. It was it was surreal. Listen, man, my mother was, I lost a lot of friends, you know, in a war, and I got one of the messages, like, well, it was like a Red Cross message sent to us that my mother was shot by a sniper, but that she survived.
Jesus.
At that time.
Is it true?
Yeah, it's true. At that time, I did not, you know, I didn't believe that she survived. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That was just unheard of. You know what I mean? I haven't seen or heard of anybody surviving anything like that. They were just killing civilians, and I made peace with myself at that, you know, at that time that was it. I was never going to see her again. You know, so when I, you know, this message that I got, I was just like, you know, whatever, it's just another lie. It's just like, you know, they try to cover up the lies with, you know, my school friend that,
right.
Also got killed. And, you know, and then, you know, when, you know, you hear her voice on the phone, it's just, you don't know what to say when you speak, but you just, you know, it's, and then you still, you know, and then we were waiting for her to fly in, and when she flew in, you know, you just coming out of the plane, and you see her, you know what I mean? And same thing happened with my father. He came in a little, I want to say maybe like a little less than a year after her, and it was the same thing, you know what I mean? You see your family, but, you know, at the same time, you are no longer the same people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like seeing, this is your family, this is people who raised you, people who you spent a large chunk of your life with, but once you're separated them for a few years, I mean, you see them again, it's almost like, I just can't imagine, it's just got to be like, I know you, but I don't know you. That's got to be the feeling I would imagine.
And I will never understand what, you know, what they went through, you know.
Yeah.
Even years after they came here, because their son wasn't, you know, I can't speak for, you know, on behalf of my sister, but their son wasn't the same kid. I wasn't the same person anymore, you know what I mean? And for them, you know, to try to figure out, you know, who this kid was, must have been, you know, very difficult for them. And but, you know, we're still family. You know, we still love each other. We're still here for each other. And, you know, life took its turn and it is what it is. But, you know, some bonds you just don't break. You know what I mean? You build on them, you grow, and you become stronger.
Do they ever talk about it? They talk about some of the things they went through?
You know, I asked them a lot of questions. You know what I mean? And, you know, for the most part, I would get a lot of short answers. You know what I mean? And, you know, but, you know, at least I got some of the answers. And the thing is, you know, they ask me what I went through, and nine times out of ten, I don't even give them the answer.
Yeah.
So it's
almost like a security thing that we have in our brain. We're just kind of trying to move on, you know, after some of the things that you saw.
Some things you can't explain, and some things
you don't want to.
Well, you know, true. So some people, some things you don't want to explain. You know, you don't want to dig into it because, you know, you can give an easy answer, but then you're also thinking, if I answer this, then, you know, just, you know, ask another question, and I just don't want to fucking talk about it. You know what I mean? So
totally, totally. So you came to the States. You're here, and then you were kind of, you know, mixed up the wrong crowd of people. You know, had a tough kind of time here in the States at first. You know, when you got here. But you ended up doing something that is to me, one of the most admirable things that there is, and one of the things that strikes me deeply in my heart. You joined the military. And,
yeah.
You became a Marine.
Yeah. I grabbed,
you didn't join any military, and I'm not, and listen, like, all military is the jam, is the shit, it's awesome, but, like, you joined, like, the fucking Marines. Like, that was the no-joke military.
Yeah, back then. Absolutely. I was a junior in high school, and all my friends, you know, they were either playing in college, you know, or not going to college, going to school.
Just to get, like, a snapshot of where we were in life and what's going on and with government, what year are we talking here?
This was 90, I graduated in 98, but 97 okay. is when I was really, you know, thinking about, you know, what my life is going to be like after I graduate high school. You know, Harrisburg is a small town in America, and stores closed down. Yeah, but the store's closed. It's not, you know, it's a town for, you know.
Totally.
It's a family town. It's a family town, and it's, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
stores close down super, super, super fast. I mean, super early, and in my opinion, you know, I mean, all the kids I graduated with, the majority of them stayed, and they have, you know, beautiful lives. You know, they have families and houses now over there. But for me, it was just boring. You know, you don't, you just not much, you know, things to do. And I knew that I did not want to work for minimum wage, and I did not want to go to school. I really had, you know, didn't know what to do with my life, really. You know, I didn't want to just go and study to be such and such just because that career can make me, you know, X amount of money. I just, you know, I'm really, I get bored easily, you know what I mean? And but the thing is, I wasn't really a clean-cut kid either. I was getting in trouble a lot, and I was getting high every day. So I was really a hot mess. I knew the only way for me to, you know, achieve any sort of a success in life, I needed discipline. And I saw it in the Marines, you know. And I talked to the Army guys, and I talked to the Air Force guys, and when the Marines, this is the funny story. I met the, you know, the recruiters in the mall. For some reason, I just ran into them, and I filled out the, you know, the little pamphlets they had. And the next day, one of the guys called me, and I was with a friend of mine in my room, really getting high. And, you know, he can hear him on the phone with me, and so he yells. He's like, "Omar, come on, let's go. We gotta get out of here." You know, he's like kind of faking it so we can't get off the phone.
Right.
So the guy, the recruiter says, he said, "Listen, don't worry about it. I'm gonna stop by tomorrow morning by your house." I was like, "Okay, whatever." So I hang up the phone, and the guy shows up. You know, the next morning I wake up. I'm hungover. You know, I'm my mom actually wakes me up. He said, "There's a guy in a uniform outside. He wants to talk to you." And I completely forgot about all of that. And, you know, I come in.
Wait, hold on. First, you're like, "Oh, shit. What the fuck did I do last night? There's a guy in a uniform outside waiting to talk to
yeah,
me?"
Yeah, like, I mean, she's waking me up. I'm you know, half naked in my bed. And, you know,
you're always like, half naked, though. You're always half naked.
Well, I love being like the, you know, the animal feel, you know what I'm saying? I like the jungle jungle habitat, you know what I mean?
There you
That's,
go.
The most comfortable.
There
but, yeah, so the guy go, you know, he opens the door, he go, I let him inside, we talk, and my dad was working, he came from work, that was a weekend, I believe, he came from work, and he saw him there, and he was kind of pissed.
Which he was?
And he was pissed, man. I mean, like, these guys came from the war, and here I am, you know, looking to sign into people in the Marines.
Wow.
And so he sat down and told me, we were all sitting down talking, and
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver?
I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I just told my dad to listen if you don't, because I was 17 and I had to be 18 to sign.
Right.
Myself. And I just told my dad, I was like, listen, if you don't sign the paper now, I'm going to sign when I'm 18. And, you know, that was it. You know, he signed for me, and then I enlisted a delayed entry program at 17. And I was still getting high. I was still being stupid and stuff. And but I went in.
Now the boot camp started, you weren't, baby.
when I went to the boot camp, that was, you know, I knew a lot of my friends at the time. You know, they didn't believe that I was going to make it.
How was that transition? Because you're going from what you were doing, getting high and doing shit and being involved and mixed up in the wrong crowd and doing things you shouldn't have been, to now literally you got to be up at whatever God knows hour and you got dudes screaming at you and doing things that you definitely don't want to do. How was that transition for you? Or were you pretty prepared for it? You knew what it was going to be.
Well, you know, they tried to prepare you a little bit when you're in the delayed entry program, you know, but nothing can prepare you for that. And the thing is, this is with anything in life. If you want to do something, you have to focus on it 100%. That's the only thing that exists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, the book, you know, that I put out, you know, I drew a lot of references from my experience in the military.
Right.
The only reason we started with 96 kids in a platoon, 54 of us graduated. You know, the rest of them didn't make it. I put it into my head that either going to graduate or I'm not going to come out alive. You know,
right.
Only two options that I told myself. And it wasn't really that I told myself I'm going to have something to prove to anybody. It's just that I told myself I'm not going back to making minimum wage and not going back to live with parents and not going to school. Like, this is the only chance that I have at life right now to make something of myself.
And how many years did you end up doing in the military?
I put in 4 years. You know,
wow.
I put in 4 years and I met a lot of great people. I went a lot of different places. I didn't go to any wars. You know, I didn't fight
Thank
any
God.
Wars. But I got out in 2002. And then
even after 9/11, after 9/11, you didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean 9/11 was you know, it was hectic. It was you know, that they had us on
like alert.
We were ready to go. You know, wherever we needed to go, we were Marines. So we just ask questions and
they point you in the direction you go.
That's what we trained for, and that's really what it came to. It came to like, okay, this is what we were trained for every single day, you know. So,
and what did you do? What was your job in the military? What did you do there?
I had two different jobs. I was working in a administrative field, and I was also a translator for civil creation.
Yeah.
So I was translating a lot of military documents from Croatia, because you know right now over there we have bases in Bosnia, so we have the same
right.
language.
Right.
So I was a pencil pusher. I did that. I worked with the non-judicial part of the administrative field, and so all the Marines that you know would get in trouble. I was the guy that was doing their paperwork before they go to court martial.
I was always
hanging out with the bad people, even
in the military. You couldn't get away from them.
But, you know, and now I'm with the true cooks. You know what I mean? So he doesn't escape me.
They're the worst people. No, I'm just kidding. It's a bunch of fucking cooks and pirates. Jesus Christ!
right.
So look, I want to just take a little breather from this for a minute, because it's. I mean, to go from having to flee your own country to hiding in another country, to coming to this country and finally getting your whole family together, and then you leave again to join the military. It's just it's deep, man. That's a pretty big pill to swallow. But you know, I want to talk a little bit for a second, kind of a little commercial break, if you will. Not really so
Absolutely.
Much. About the book, Walking with Lions, which you can find on Amazon right now. I highly recommend if you haven't checked it out. You need to check out this book, especially if you are. Listen, it's great for culinary people, but it's also great for just, you know, young men and women. There's a lot of good information in here. And so I have a couple of things I want to read to you really quick, and I want to see just your reaction on some of them and tell me what yours were. It's some of my favorite quotes from your book. That I've gone through, and like I said, I'm going through it for the I'm 1.5 times reading the book. I've already finished it once. It's a really quick, easy read. I mean, I can read it in a couple hours. It's easy. And you know, basically the whole book is you take notes throughout your daily life. That's what you do. And this book is pretty much those notes into a book form, where it's just it's not chapters or anything like that. It's just these little quips, you know, these little segments in the book. I don't know why I'm being visual and showing, using my hands to show, because no one can fucking see me, but it's just these little anybody little paragraphs or little sayings or little quotes or little inspirational things that you've written down throughout your culinary career. Am I saying that right, or am I wrong with that?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, absolutely, and so, correct.
Yeah, and so some of the things I'd love from it is for instance, your creativity will never see the light of day if you don't fear criticism from others. Where did that come from?
That's a little bit of a deep question, man. Let's say you are really good at making burgers, right?
Right.
And you believe that you made the best burger out of there, right?
Right.
But that's what you believe. People eat burgers. Their opinion matters more than yours. So you are feeding people, you know, you're making this food that you're making, that you believe it's really delicious, really great. You're feeding these people, and they're the ones that are coming back to you and telling you how much they like it or they don't.
Right.
Now, you have to fall in love with constructive criticism. That's my firm belief. If you take somebody's critique, and
take it personally.
You listen to what they're saying, you can see if you are making a mistake or if you can make your product even better. But also at the same time, you're also able to know if some people are just like talking out of their ass. So, you know, everybody's giving you the criticism. Some people are just, you know, running their mouth, either kissing your ass or you know, just putting your product down. So basically what I'm saying is it's a strong thing to say, you know, that you should. But what I did was I always asked myself, you know, is this really that good? Is this making a change? How's this influencing somebody? Is somebody going to come back and, you know, ask for the same product again? You know, so it's the way to better yourself is to really, really break the monotony of thinking that you know what you're doing. You know.
Yeah, I think that. I started this whole episode off with saying that it's important for you to challenge yourself every day, because the more challenges you give yourself, the better you will be, whether it's in any profession, whether you're a cook, whether you're a chef, whether you work on cars for a living, whether you run an office building. You have to challenge yourself, because if you don't challenge yourself, you'll never get better at anything. And don't ever think you're the top of your game, because there's always someone who can do it better.
And it's not easy to challenge yourself. It's draining. It's difficult. It's not pleasant. There's no fun there. There's no comfort. There is. It's a ugly territory. You know, you're not happy at the moment when a challenge arises. Whether you put yourself in a challenge or if you're faced with it. You know, I mean, like cooks, we are faced with challenges every day. I mean, you're on the line, and you know, one of your cooks calls off, and you know, or it's some stuff that's supposed to be prepped isn't prepped. What do you do? You got a challenge. That's a challenge right there. So what do? Do you fucking sit there and cry about it, or do you be like, okay, you know, we got to, you know, go back to the drawing board real quick in about 30 seconds and figure out how to get this, you know, fixed, how to thrive. You know what I mean?
And that's
one thing about working. You know, that's what we do. That's one thing about working in our field, that we are constantly faced with the challenges. So now on top of those challenges, the challenge yourself to become even better it's really puts a, you know, thorn in your side, because you know you want to become better. You strive to, you know, become this greater version of self. You know, you have this vision to become a person in this field that can be recognized, you know, in your community by a person, by, you know, foodies or whoever comes to eat your food as a person of quality. And in order to do that, it's not just to show up to work. You know, it takes much more than that. You know, you have to show up to work. You have to do what needs to be done. But on top of that, you still got to be focused on how to, you know, perfect your knife skill, how to perfect your moves, how to be flawless. You know,
absolutely.
And the thing is, you will never be flawless. You know, perfection is just, it's a mirage. It doesn't exist.
It's what we all strive for. And again, guys, the book is called Walking with Lions. You can check it out on Amazon. It's really easy to get to. You can read it for free there if you have the Kindle thing, or you know, it's $3, and I highly recommend checking it out. It's really important. And so we had mentioned before about the things that I had gone through and how Newtown, what happened here, excuse me, had changed my life. Where it, to the point, brother, where I had stopped calling these things challenges or things that would annoy you in the kitchen. I stopped calling them like annoyances. To me, it became an opportunity to show that you can do better, an opportunity to show that you can handle this, an opportunity to show that no matter what happens, we're going to be okay. And that's what it became to me. And that's what I preach now to my guys when we're doing a catering, when we're doing a pop-up dinner. These are opportunities. We did a pop-up dinner inside of Williams-Sonoma. You think it would be great. It wasn't. It was a tiny-ass little place to cook in. And I said, listen, this is an opportunity for us to show how efficient we can be with our mise en place. It's not about sitting here bitching about we don't have enough room or bitching that we need X, Y, Z. This is an opportunity where we can just handle this issue and show how good we really, really are. And trust me, we are good. And we need to make sure that we can show the world that we are that good. And this is a great chance for us to do that. And it's amazing when you look at it from that perspective, how it changes things. And I think that leads right into the next quote. Not that I don't want to give you a chance to respond to what I just said there, but you know, there's two quotes early on in your book. I think they're almost both in the introduction, which made me, when I read them, it hooked me. And the second one, not the first one, the second one is, do not search for the cool, search for the valuable. Remember, a true chef knows that he will always be a cook. And let me tell you something, that is one of the truest things ever, ever said, published, digital, paper, fucking carrier pigeon, whatever. That alone is an amazing quote and should be put on something. I'm going to read it one more time for you if you don't mind, even though it's out of your book. Do not search for the cool, search for the valuable. Remember, a true chef knows that he will always be a cook. We live in a world now where too many people come out of culinary school, too many people, they do a television show, and they want to call themselves chef. Well, let me tell you something. Chef, most of the time, doesn't call himself chef. He's a cook. He's a person who understands that he cooks food for a living. He understands that challenges are opportunities to make yourself better. And to me, that's what it means. And when I read that, immediately I was hooked in this book, Walking with Lions, on Amazon. You got to check it out.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the reason why I wrote this book.
By the way, that was all in one breath. I just want to point that out. That was all one breath. I just said all that shit.
Well, you're a professional at this, man. The reason why I wrote this book was, even to this day, I get a lot of direct messages from on Instagram from cooks from all over the place.
Yeah.
mainly the young cooks entering the game or older cooks that have been in the game for, you know, a few years. And they're pretty much asking for direction. You know, they're asking me for suggestion, advice, and things of that nature. And I would sit there. I would reply to everybody who would reach out to me. But I noticed that everybody's pretty much asking me the same thing. And it was, you know, how do I become a chef? How do I become, you know, I want to be like you, or not like you, but like I want to get to I want to be on your level. You know,
right.
You don't want to be on my level. You want to be on your level. You know, you know where you want to be.
Right.
And I figured, you know, since I'm getting so many questions like this, that I was going to put down and share, you know, how I implement action into creating what I want for myself in this career. And it, you know, I used all my life experience to get me this far. So it's not for me to be where I'm at, it's not just a lesson that I learned in the kitchen or culinary school, because I've worked in the kitchen before. I worked in before I went to culinary school, I worked in the kitchen before. My idea, I wanted to be in a music industry. So when I moved to New York City, I was pursuing that field. But once, you know, something happened and the spark that lit up again, and I wanted to get back in the kitchen, but I chose to go into culinary school because I wanted to take it, you know, seriously, become a little more professional. And but at the same time, I don't suggest that, you know, the culinary school is important. It's not, absolutely not. You don't need to go to culinary school. What you need to do is, if you really, really want to do this, what you need to do is, and if you can't afford culinary school, for example, you need to find yourself a mentor.
Right.
Find yourself a chef who's going to take you on the day one and break you and rebuild you. And in order for that to happen, you have to allow yourself to be coachable, which means you have to allow yourself in order to be rebuilt into the greater version of self. You know, and
that's not easy to do. Not easy for everyone to do. That's a difficult thing to have.
It's not, because if you notice, in culinary schools, you know, it's a business. They have to make money, but when kids come out of the culinary school, a very small percentage of the graduating class will stay in the field, while the other ones step out.
Right.
You know, and they don't want to deal with it. You know, because many people that go to school, I don't want to say they go for the wrong reason, but, you know, maybe they're misled. Maybe they, you know, have a different picture about it. But
well, they don't understand how difficult it is.
I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? I can't. It could be. It's a wide range of things. Well,
you know, I'm a big fan of culinary school, believe it or not. I think it gives a great foundation. At least, I mean, I graduated from CIA, and, you know, my group, it's changed a little bit since I went, but 71 of us started, 34 of us finished. And they basically tell you that you're shit from day one. And it's, you know, to me, it's the closest thing to military I ever did, and we can talk about that on another day, but I mean, it's very regimented. It's you're to be where you're told to be 5 minutes early or you're late. And if you're late more than once, then go home. You're told to go home more than once, retake the class. If you have to retake more than one class, they boot you out the door. And they say there's 5,000 people that want to take your spot. We don't need you. You need us. And when you go
listen,
in there.
I'm not knocking down culinary schools.
No, I
went to one, but it's I don't think that is necessary. For anybody, because I mean, look at Chad from True Cooks. He was a dishwasher. He hasn't seen school. He's a Michelin star chef.
Yep. Thomas Keller.
You have to want it. And but you know, to want it, you really have to give it your all. I mean, you got to – otherwise, you're just going to be a dreamer. You're going to be sitting there dreaming.
There you have it, man. That's what's up right there. I'm telling you, it's funny because this business, if you're willing to work for it, if you're willing to work for it, to me, that's 90% of the battle. If you're willing to work for it, if you're not willing to work for it, you have no chance. No chance. None whatsoever. And, you know, one of the things I saw that quote I said at the beginning of the show from Marco Pierre White, which is just meaning more to me every single day. And, you know, if you have a dream, you have a responsibility to yourself to make it come true, because if you don't, you're just a dreamer. And to me, that is something that I think it's important for everyone to take to heart. Bro, we have so much more to cover with you. We just got to the point where you just finished the military. We haven't even gotten to you going to culinary school or your cooking career and what you've done to this point, man. I'd love to do a part two with you and talk about that very, very soon.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I would love it.
I mean, yeah. We got into the book a little bit here. Again, the book Walking with Lions. It's on Amazon. You got to check it out. It's fantastic. It's not very often I read a book more than once, but this one I am. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions before we wrap this up. Before we do a part two, which is definitely going to happen, and sooner than later, because we have a lot more to cover here. But it's interesting to me to talk a little bit about, just to bring it back to the food part, because we do talk food on the show, about some of the things that maybe, you know, usually I always end with the what's your favorite food, what's your favorite cocktail, blah, 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 that horseshit. But kind of on the same lines of that, but from a different perspective from where you come from, what was some of the things you ate when you were in those camps, when you were a refugee, when you were homeless? How did you feed yourself? What did you do?
Oh, my. Wow. You had to go there, damn it.
Yeah.
Well,
because food is so powerful. Food can evoke so many memories. Food can evoke so many emotions. I can only imagine, you know, there's still got to be certain smells that you'll find when you're walking through the city that remind you or take you back immediately to a place where, you know, maybe it was good, maybe it was bad, but it takes you right back there. What are some of those things?
We survived thanks to the you know, Catholic charities and the Way in the Lives, the soup kitchens and things like that. So it's sometimes food didn't really taste all that great. You know what I mean? And sometimes you would eat the same thing over and over and over and over again. And portions were not always, it wasn't always enough food,
right?
You know?
Right.
But one of the things that, you know, it's most memorable to me is a tomato.
Okay.
as a kid, you know, I didn't eat vegetables, you know.
Right. Of course.
Just like my son now, you know, I just didn't eat vegetables. But one
good thing is that's a good thing is that's a pastry chef.
I was in a field one time. In a field close to where we were staying. And I don't remember what was going on that day, but I was by myself, and I was in this field. It was really bright day. It was really sunny. It was hot, and I plucked a tomato off the vine.
Yeah.
You know, and I bit into it. You know, I was hungry, and I bit into it, and you know the juice from the tomato, the taste. The acidity and sweetness. It was just so beautiful. It was the best thing I fucking ate in my life.
Wow.
And to this day, you know, I'll you know, my favorite thing is tomato off the vine, and
right.
I will eat it like an apple. You know, I don't really. I mean, I'll put it in the salads and things like that. I'll cook with it. But the favorite way to eat a tomato is to eat it just like an apple. And, you know, That's one of my favorite things. There's also a story I have to tell you. It's he's really successful now. He lives in Denmark. He's married. He's got a beautiful son. Him and I, he's a little bit younger than me.
Right.
A few years younger than me, and he was a little bit pissed off that day for whatever reason. And we went out, and he went to eat these peaches off of a tree that was right in front of somebody's house, like literally like 3 feet from the front door. Meanwhile, there was a field of peaches. I mean, you can get fucking peach anywhere. But he wanted that one. And really, I don't know what it was and why he wanted that one specifically. But I had to roll with him because, I'm like, if he gets caught, I got to explain to my aunt why I wasn't with him. You know what I mean? So he goes, and, if you are familiar with the peach trees, they're not really that tall. And
absolutely.
The way we used to steal fruit and vegetables, we would tuck our shirts in our pants, and
right,
then
right.
through the neck opening, we would put the food in there and fill up our shirts like that, and then we would just run. So he climbs up in a tree. The tree, you can actually, the peach tree is not that tall.
Right.
He climbs into the tree. And he's filling his shirt while I'm standing next to the tree and keeping my eye on the front door. And I see the doorknob turning. At the moment I see the doorknob turning, I'm telling him, get out. We got to run. And I take off. So he's running behind me. I had a shirt, another shirt that was tied around my waist, which unties and falls behind me. And I'm running, it's on the ground now. Now I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, I cannot show up back, at the camp and tell my sister and my aunt that I lost the shirt. Like, we don't have clothes like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to go back and I had to get that shirt. So my cousin passes me and I run back to get the shirt. And there's this old lady dressed all in black with the black scarf, that's signifies the widow. And she's standing there with the bucket, one of those old buckets that you pull the water out from the well.
Yeah.
She's standing there with it, like right above my shirt. And
okay.
I run and I slide, like I'm sliding for the home plate. She swings that bucket, and that thing whizzes right by my ear. Like, if she called me in the head, that would have been it. And
wow.
She missed it. I hear it whistle by my ear. Those peaches are smashed all over me. I'm completely covered.
No.
I grabbed the shirt, and I promise you, I put this on my life, I was the fastest person on that planet. I passed my cousin so fast, and all I said to him was, drop them. So and he would so he unpacked his shirt and the peaches were dropping on the place and we were running. I hear the engine of the Vespa, behind us, because I think maybe it was her son that was trying to catch us.
Okay.
So we were running and there's a fig tree. I jump on the fig tree. My cousin's running by. I pick him up. The guy drives underneath of us. If we go up the hill, and there was a church up the hill, so we take the that route. Long story short, he finds us.
Okay.
So he goes and he says, he's looking at me and he says, "Were you guys stealing our peaches?" And my cousin looks at him and he's looking at me and he's looking at him, looking at me, just like turning his head.
Yeah.
And I'm completely covered. I mean, I'm sticky, covered, wet in peaches. You can clearly tell that and I looked him straight dead in the eye and I said, "What peaches?" And this dude he was at loss for words. My cousin is like, "Oh, we're gonna get fucking killed."
Right.
And but I had at that point I was just like tired and I was a different kid back then. And he just kind of like, let us off with the warning, and we went back home. And then when we went back home, I was like, you know, we were like, can you please not send us to go get lunch at the, you know, at the cafeteria, because we're so fucking scared right now. But my aunt and my sister were like, nope, you gotta go get the lunch. So
wow,
yeah. That was I have so many war stories like that, man. It's funny.
And to this day, Omar hates peaches.
No. I don't hate peaches as much as my cousin does. But
yeah, right.
But all those things, you know, changed everything in my life, and made me who I am right now. You know,
yeah,
I'm grateful for doing a lot of dumb things.
Well, dumb things build us as characters. I think we started the conversation off by talking about how things can become who you are, or just become part of what you've been through in your experience. And it sounds like a lot of these experiences have just become something you've been through and have helped build your character. And brother, this conversation, I mean, I could talk to you for an hour and a half, and I think that's what we should do here very soon, because we have a whole like second half of the culinary harassment life we haven't even touched yet. And I think
Absolutely, man.
You're such an easy guy to talk to. You're such an inspirational guy to talk to. You make me feel better as a person to talk to. So maybe it's selfishness. I don't know. Or maybe it's just I like the stories and like hearing about it. And stuff simply about your childhood, being separated from your family, being separated from, you know, for so many years, and being with your sister and just being kids. Like tonight, I'll tell you what, I'm going to honestly put a couple extra thoughts into the world for people who are going through stuff like that, because that's just something that I think we should all think a few minutes about before we go to bed tonight.
This is also, you know, my life experiences, you know, the reason why I have so many eyes on me on Instagram, I believe, is simply because a lot of people can identify with what I say, you know, maybe there are not that many refugees that follow me, but I'm absolutely certain that there are many people with a similar walk of life that share similar struggles.
No, I'm pretty sure it's from all the naked pictures you post of yourself.
You know what? You actually might be right. You know what I mean? I'm actually thinking about I might be switching the field. You know, I might see if I can hire a photographer. You know what I mean?
I think I'm doing Instagram wrong. I think that's what I'm supposed to do. I tell you what, I'm sitting down here at my bar, and I look over to my my Pittsburgh Steelers filled bar, and I look over and I see I have a signed terrible towel by the entire defense from a couple years ago, and sitting in the frame with a picture is a little print out of the hashtag culinary harassment. So whatever you're doing it right. It's affected me, and it's sitting here at my bar as I'm sitting here talking to you. And brother, your stories are so inspirational. Your book, Walking with Lions, available on Amazon. Make sure you check this book out. It's amazing. It's $3. Come on. They just raised minimum wage. Everybody has $3. Check this book out. It's well worth it. The inspirational quotes you'll see, the stories you'll see. It's not even really stories. It's just kind of like things to know. Like, I don't know how else to say it. And I kind of hate that you did that, because now I want to do that as a book. But obviously I'm not going to. But
no, do it. Listen, this is not about saying, you know, who does what. If you have something worthwhile saying, say it. Because our field needs it. You know, we have too many people parading around and you know, walking around with the chevrons and not really sharing the knowledge. The people who are important in our field, I believe, the most important people are newcomers, the new generation is coming in, and we have to raise them right. So if you got something to say that, you know, in a similar way, you know, do it. I encourage you, and I hope that you do.
Well, I ain't gonna say nothing yet, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not gonna say nothing yet. But there's a cookbook in the works, and there's some talks going on, and there's a pretty cool thing that it's gonna be awesome, and I'll tell you about it off the air. But it's awesome to see the success that you've had and what's going on with you, and the fact that you have a fucking book. Like, that's insane that you wrote a book, and it's incredible, and it's especially for anyone, for younger people or even, you know, for anybody. I don't want to say young people, for anybody. The quotes in it, the things that are in there are just amazing. And the fact that you kept that stuff for so long and made a book out of it is truly inspirational, dude. And I tell you what, this conversation is amazing. I want to keep talking to you, but we are well over time here, and we're going to have to do a part two, no doubt.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to, you know, also take the opportunity right now and thank everybody who's in touch with me, whether they reach out to me directly on Instagram or, you know, direct messages, or all my friends that I stay in touch with the text messages for Facebook and everything, all the True Cooks. I want to give a lot of love to my people in the Philippines. I'm really grateful for, you know, that you keep your eyes on me. The calling and harassment pages, this is no longer my page. This is people's page, really. You know what I mean? It's
wow.
It doesn't belong to me anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I want to say, I want to give one big shout out to Team Fulkerson.
Okay.
They know who they are, and we can talk about it in the second interview.
I'm with it, man. And I just want to tell you, man, the love that's coming out on Instagram for this conversation and for you and I having talking and you telling your story is pretty unbelievable right now. I mean, people are really talking about this, and I think it's great. People want to hear your story because your story is inspirational. I mean, I don't know how many people knew about your whole stuff from Yugoslavia and fleeing the country, and I don't know how people knew that, but to me, that's just, it's an amazing thing, and I think there's a lot more to come here, brother, and I appreciate you taking the time this evening and chatting with me and chatting with us on this program.
Absolutely. I also want to apologize. I told some people that, you know, I'll be taking some questions, and since we went over the time, my bad. I'm
next
sorry.
Time, brother. Next time, brother.
It's the first time I'm doing this, so I apologize for misleading on that, but hopefully maybe next time we can do this.
Well, maybe it's my fault because I was listening to your story so much. I probably should have cut them short and jumped into it. But listen, we got plenty of time next time. We're going to do this again. I mean, fuck it. We might just do it next week. I mean, that's how we might do it because it's such a great conversation. There's more to tell, and you are such an enigmatic type person, you know, especially on social media and whatnot. And you're the charismatic enigma. How about that? Omar, a.k.a. Culinary Harassment. There he is. How about that?
Thank you so much for having me tonight. It's really, I'm honored.
Dude, I am. And I love talking to you, and you know that. And we've had many conversations. And listen, all the best to you, to your family. And listen, we're going to do it again. And we're going to get to the second half of this conversation. I think it's important to do. And again,
absolutely.
If you haven't done it yet, Walking with Lions, available on Amazon. Check it out. It's well worth it. Just go to Amazon, type in Walking with Lions, and it comes up. It's amazing. Don't try to spell Omar's last name because you'll fuck it up. Just type in Walking with Lions. Sorry, I had to throw a joke in. My fault, dude.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Well, there it is. Hey, look here. You know what? Stay on the phone. Stay. Don't hang up yet. You'll do the outro with me. How about that? You'll do the outro with me. Here we go.
All right, cool.
Before we call tonight, let's get to a couple of plugs here real quick and finish this evening off with one of my favorite jam. Actually, you know what? Not this jam. We're going to play a different jam, Omar. Do you mind? I got a nice soulful jam. It's one of my new favorite groups, J.J. Gray and the Mofro. The song's called The Sun Is Shining Down. Awesome.
As my thoughts drift
I mean, honestly, Omar, that song has got to be, like, the most appropriate thing for this conversation. That, God damn, that's good shit. I love soulful music, brother. I love soulful
music. Man, I'm a little bit teary-eyed right now, man.
Oh, it's awesome.
You're pulling my heartstrings. you're trying to get me all soft right now.
That's what I'm doing my job, man. That's me. I'm doing my job. That's what's up. That's J.J. Gray and the Mofro, The Sun Is Shining Down. I mean, I just love soulful music. I love blues music. That shit is awesome. I mean, listen, I'm a kitchen guy. Old school hip hop is also in my blood, but when it comes down to it, I love blues, I love soul music, and this song is just some shit I just recently found, and it's amazing. And to me, it's very fitting for you and what we've talked about tonight.
Absolutely, man. You are, you know, amazing what you do. You're really good with this stuff, and I only hope that you grow even bigger in this field with, you know, entertainment, because, you know, we need people like you to do what you do outside of the kitchen. You know what I mean? It's like I said, you know, it's important for the new generations to have people like us to guide them. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it really is up to us how this culinary world is going to extend itself in the future.
I really appreciate the kind words, and thank you very much. And I can't guarantee nothing, but the one thing I will tell you, and the one thing I will promise, that I will not stop. I will never stop. I will keep going, and I'm like a fucking Terminator, dude. I'll just if you blow me up, I'll come back in a different version. Like, my shit will keep going nonstop. So
absolutely,
that's gonna happen. A couple of plugs tonight, you guys, check it out. We just recently announced the brand new Dinner Underground, my pop up dining series, entitled Winter Warms the Soul. It's happening January 30th. Five or six courses. The menu will be done tomorrow. Tickets are selling really, really fast. It's going to be the Edmontown Hall here in Newtown. You can go to plumlovefoods.com or chefplum.com for ticket info. Get your tickets if you want to come. The award-winning dining series is back for 2016, and I can't wait to show you guys what we've got going on. Also, you can follow me on them Twitters, @chef_plum. That's @chef_plum. And, of course, on Instagram, @chef_plum. I have a new Facebook page. I'm not doing shit with it, but you can check me out there as well. I don't fucking do Facebook. It sounds retarded. My PR girl wants me to have Facebook. I don't know shit about it. I try to post on it. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'll stick with Twitter and Instagram. But, nonetheless, it's there if you find me. I can talk to you there as well. Big shout out to my homie Omar, aka Culinary Harassment. This conversation tonight has been, it's been awesome. It's been informative. It's been educational, and more importantly, it's been emotional. And to me, emotion's not bad. Emotions are a good thing. I think more people should be in touch with their emotions. I think we as cooks live in this world where it's you know, you fire the ticket, sell the ticket, fire the ticket, sell the ticket. Where sometimes it's okay to stop for a second and smell the roses and see the world around you and understand that just because life becomes such a repetition, or if I may quote a good friend of mine right here, being so distracted by the false reality that you fail to notice the repetition, that sometimes take the time, smell the roses, enjoy the day, because guarantee you that sun's going to come up tomorrow. Omar, give them the shit, man. Tell them where you're at. Tell them how to find you on Instagram. Tell them about the book.
Culinary Harassment on Instagram. The Twitter is Culinary Harass. They can't fit all the letters in it.
Fuck Twitter.
Whoever, you know, just reach out to me. You know, I'm always there. You know, I stay on Instagram pretty much every day. Even if I don't post, the days that I don't post, I try to pay attention to others, and learn from them, because you guys out there are, you know, important to me as much as you show me love and show me respect. I really am much more focused on, you know, who else is out there, because I also learn from you a lot. So thank you for being my circle, and thank you for allowing me to be inside of yours too.
Well, there it is, and the humbleness is one of the most the qualities about culinary harassment that you have to keep in mind when you're talking to the man. And look here, you've been checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Big thanks to my man Culinary Harassment for coming on tonight, brother. You've been awesome. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to do the outro. Here we go. Remember, folks, my name is Chef Plum, and food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And I'll see you next Monday. Thanks, everybody.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.